restrictions or food and gas rationing while you were up with the Braves? I know you traveled by train most of the time. Are any interesting stories about train travel during the war?
Not really. Not that I can think of.
Did you room with other players?
Oh, yeah.
And did you pool your money as far as driving to and from the ballpark?
I, as far as Boston, when I lived in Brooklyn, the Braves Field was Commonwealth Avenue. Brooklyn was right on the other side of Brooklyn Avenue. I walked to the ballpark. It was only about 4 or 5 blocks from...
Really?
From Brooklyn. I roomed with a private family.
I see.
All they were interested in mostly was passes.
Were you able to get them passes?
No.
I understand the Braves' attendance was very poor that year, something like over 200,000.
Yeah.
Was that discouraging to the ball players to play before so few people?
No, they didn't seem to. Oh, they used to kid about it.
Back then, did the Braves have their own following of fans? I know the Red Sox were the were the more popular team in town. But
well, they were more in town, and we drew more of this team from the outlying, you know, that's
really?
That end of town.
I see.
It's almost at the extreme end of Boston. The Fenway Park, more downtown.
That's right, it's in Kenmore Square, yeah. Do you remember anything specific about the three little steam shovels? I think they took over the ball club that year. Guido Rugo and Lou Perini, the owners. Did you ever get to
meet them? No, Bob Quinn was still the deal. They bought the club during the year that year.
Did you get a chance?
But then I never got to.
You never got to meet?
Contact, no.
I see. Did you get to meet Bob Quinn?
Well, sure.
Oh, this is the older man, the father.
This is John's father.
Yeah.
Sure.
What kind of guy
was that? When I reported that morning, I came in Boston about 8:30 in the morning. Cabman right out of the ballpark. I'm out there. And about 10 o'clock, Mr. Quinn came out. Bob had his office out there at the ballpark. Out there in the right field of offices. And he and I talked. And he asked me if I wanted to go to a ball game at the one ball game. Well, the Yankees are in town. He's in the Braves were at New York.
Yes.
The Yankees opened up in Fenway Park.
I see.
And he took me to the ball game. He had his own room box. He would have had his own box, you know.
At Fenway Park?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. So even though he was the Braves owner, he still kept up his ties to the Red Sox. I knew he had owned the Red Sox previous to that.
The funny part was, here was an incident I learned something. He asked me, well, he says, did you eat yet? I said, no, I didn't. He said, come with me. He only walked a short distance. He went into the door. Here's where the concession was, you know, concession people.
Yes.
Boy, I learned then what they really get rid of at a ball game. Ham, pile up that high. Well,
no,
you know, all the food, you know,
yes.
You see. Goodness sake, I learned. You know, a lot of junk in the day.
So you got to see it all, huh?
Well, just help yourself. If you don't eat now, you know, really. And they all seem to know him. They all like Bob to him, you know. Quinn, help yourself.
Good. So he was a very pleasant man.
Oh, yeah.
Found him very agreeable. I see.
Now, when he met me, his first look at me, he said, well, you're sure big enough, he said.
I see. Jim Tobin threw 2 no-hitters that year. One was against the Phillies in a 5-inning game, and another was against Brooklyn. Do you remember anything specific about those days, or about Tobin in general?
Yes. Jim, he was about my age, and he'd drink a cold beer after the game. It got to be that he and I often were together. But he, about that age, you don't hang out with the younger guys.
Sure.
It just seemed to get along since we were both pitchers. And, and when we came to Philadelphia, they wanted to take a picture of him right after the game from Brooklyn right to Philadelphia. And old Chat Park. I want to take pictures, and Tobin refused to come out of the dugout.
Oh, really? Was he a very shy?
Duffy Lewis was a traveling secretary, and Mr. Lewis, I've been that famous art, he was the speaker, Lewis, and I forget
Hooper,
the third,
Harry New Hooper, Hooper,
He pleaded with Jim, what the heck? It's not until they get that so-and-so out of the line. Turned out this fellow wrote an article on him in a magazine. And
oh, really? Who was the writer?
I don't know. I forget that. Mm-hmm. And it all ended up, Tobin got a check for around $2,500. They set it up. Then he went on.
The same way?
It's very paid.
No kidding.
Then he went on.
You mean in order to pose for the pictures? Holy smokes. So he just more or
less...
That
I'll never forget. And then...
$2,500?
Mm-hmm.
Who paid him? The writers? Or?
Yeah. I don't know if they pulled it off this man magazine or whatever he wrote for, but they agreed, they signed the paper.
Gee, what is $2,500? Of course, also that year, Clyde Schoen pitched one against Tobin. In other words, no hit the Braves in the game when Tobin pitched. And the day before, Bucky Walters had thrown a one-hitter against you. Do you remember those two games?
Yeah, Cincinnati.
Yeah. Remember anything specific about those days? That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's almost 30 years ago.
I remember Walters, Bucky, really wonderful control that day. He was sharp, fast.
He's going to be one of my interviews. He's agreed to chat with me. He's in North Philadelphia now.
Is he?
In the suburbs of Philadelphia, Cheltenham. I believe Tobin threw the knuckleball, right?
Yeah.
He was a knuckleballer. Do you remember what percent of the time he threw it?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
And he threw it... pretty close to three-quarters. And all the time you come down a little bit, almost sidearm, but the ball would dip different. You know what I mean?
I see.
And he threw the slow knuckleball, not the fast knuckleball.
Oh, really? He threw a slow one?
A slow knuckleball. It was amazing what that ball had done. Just for...
Did he know what it was going to do, or did he just serve it up?
Yeah, not exactly, but I mean... This ball, if it came down a little bit and threw from here a little bit, it seemed that ball would go out a little more and still dip.
Okay.
Almost like what the goal used to call an out drop, you know.
Yes.
Almost like that.
So in other
but
words,
it's so much sharper when it broke than a curveball, which, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's so much. It's so tantalizing because he.
But it wasn't a slider, it wasn't a knuckleball.
No, it was a knuckleball.
Uh-huh.
You could really, that ball didn't spin at all.
What was your repertoire? I mean, what did you throw?
Like I said, I was 34 years old. I began to lose something on the fastball.
Right.
But it's really curveball and fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Fastball used to, even then, yet it did, when it was right, to go off. I mean,
mm-hmm.
with that backspin on, I mean, it'd take off.
So your fastball, was your fastball a rising fastball or did it drop?
Rising.
Rising fastball. I see.
Well, that's one reason I could keep it high.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have that ball taken off like that, or you can't throw it high. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Otherwise,
it'd murder the pitch up there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd murder.
I see.
He's got to do something.
Right, just wait and shoulder high and pop it off.
If it didn't take off, you could was gone.
Right. did you mess around with any fancy pitches like a knuckleball or a screwball or a pond ball?
No.
So it was just standard repertoire, mm-hmm. fastball, curve, and a change?
Yeah, I'd let up on that curveball. Mm-hmm. You all said that's master those three pitches, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm. I see.
You can master those three. You don't need anything else.
What kind of a fellow was Bob Coleman, the manager that year?
He's a good man.
Was he a driver, or did he more or less
no.
take it easy in the ball players? So was he easy going?
He wasn't a driver. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything specific about him? A nice guy, or was he an elusive
person? He was a nice guy. You know, I'd really pitched in about three ball games. Used to get in right at the end, but I set my curveball in pretty good.
Yeah.
And then at the end, through the ball game.
Oh, so you were used as a short reliever.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Never in the early part.
I see. Did you ever start a game with the Braves?
No, I never started a game. I was slated one time to start one ball game. Only at Hutchinson that time.
Ira Hutchinson?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they had gotten him from Rochester, I think they gave $25,000 for him. They were ready to give up on him. And I was actually supposed to start that big. Mm-hmm. The last minute decided to take another look at this Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. Damn it, when he comes home, pitch a pretty good ball game, they hung on to
him.
Oh, that's too bad. He comes through and pitched a good ball game, and they kept people ready to dump him.
I see. I'd like to ask you about some of the players on those Braves teams. What kind of a guy was Tommy Holmes?
Tommy was the clean liver. Didn't drink.
Straight life all the way,
yeah. He didn't drink anything. Mm-hmm.
Did he smoke?
Can't recall that he did.
He just took
Tommy
it easy.
Was
he just took it easy off the field.
Yeah. Yeah, he wouldn't hang around with two when I hung up, but he hung around at drugstores.
Not bars, not drugstores. He had sodas. I see. What about Al Jabry?
I really didn't know too much about Jabry. Jabry didn't hang around much either.
Did he stay by himself? Was he alone?
Yeah, he... like he and Tobin, you didn't see them pal around or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But Jabry seemed to be, you know, one of those clean living guys.
Mm-hmm. How about Red Berry?
Oh, Red. But Red was a little different than he. He used to sing a lot.
Oh, did he?
Oh, sure.
I mean, did he sing in clubs, or was he that good, or just sing in the show?
His wife went to the Boston Conservatory of Music.
Oh, really?
And Red, I remember we were in Pittsburgh and had an orchestra, and they knew Red. They called him up and he sang a number with the band, and he'd do that sort of thing.
No kidding. I see. So he was, he enjoyed music.
Mm-hmm.
Classical music, or...
No,
was he
pop, or he was a cut up. I mean, he more like the modern music you had at that time.
Oh, you know? I see. Fine, okay.
It's modern music, dude.
Pop music, okay. How about Nate Andrews?
Nate, sort of a funny guy. He couldn't drink. He used to. Mm-hmm. But one year he poured the spring training and got a gun out or shooting the hell out of the clubhouse.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah, he had put himself away one year at the mental institute.
Oh, really?
He was all from drinking. He couldn't take whiskey, so he had to quit.
Did he join the AA? I mean, go on the way?
I don't know.
I see.
But he quit drinking.
Did you say he committed himself to the institution?
He and Tommy Holmes, he hung up on love together because neither one of them drank anything.
What about Clyde Klutz? catcher. He's now director of Yankee player personnel.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Macy was a better receiver than Klutz was.
Oh, really? Phil Macy? Why? I mean, why do you say that?
I hated to throw the curveball to him if I wanted to make sure the ball was down there and that ball might get in the dirt.
Did Klutz have trouble digging them out? Did Klutz have trouble digging balls out of the dirt?
He was a better hitter than Macy. Yeah, that. I had some of my junk down there, so. The New York papers. I believed in New York. And the sports writer didn't. He says, what a combination, Klopp and Klutz.
Really? Yeah, I would think so, right, with those two names. Sure. I hope you didn't take it the wrong way.
No.
Okay. Did Clyde take a lot of ripping about his name?
Not really. Well, they called me Clibbity Klopp.
Oh, really? How did you get the nickname Betts? Is that a boyhood nickname? Or?
I got that from a car.
From a what?
A car.
A car?
Car. Car, C-O-W.
Oh, I'm sorry, a cow. I see.
I was born on a farm right below town here.
Yeah?
I was about 10 years old, and my father kept a calf. Mm-hmm. A little laggy-looking